This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to have long-term contact and colleague Scott Nordland on the podcast. Scott is currently the Chief Strategy Officer and Growth Officer at Banner Health. He's the strategy officer for the entire system. Banner is one of the great systems in the country. It's the system with the biggest footprint in Arizona, and it goes beyond Arizona. Scott, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure, I'm happy to, and it's great to get a chance to talk with you, Scott. So I'm the Chief Strategy and Growth Officer at Banner Health, as you mentioned. We are about a $10 billion organization spread across six states. Primary operations, as you mentioned, are in Arizona. In my role, because I know all the Chief Strategy and Growth roles are a little bit different, but I, in addition to directing system-wide strategic planning activity, I also lead all of our merger, acquisition, partnership development, innovation and digital business strategy, joint venture development, marketing and consumer engagement, and then also I'm directly responsible for our key system-wide service line growth activities. That's orthopedics, neuro, sciences, oncology, women, infants, pediatrics, cardiovascular, and general surgery.
Well, fantastic. And talk to us about how you approach strategy. How do you think about it? And how do you approach strategy?
Sure. Typically what I think about when I'm thinking about strategy is it's really a translation process. So especially now, as I've been, discussing our path forward, given the pandemic and sort of black swan event we're all living through, I think more than ever, it's important for large organizations, small organizations, organizations of all size, to be able to translate their mission, their vision, their values, those are all internally held beliefs, out into action. And that's really what strategy does. I've always looked at it like the point where you're trying to take the internally held beliefs and you're trying to create market positions that allows your organization to thrive and compete and do well.
And when you think about strategy, let me ask you a couple of different questions. You mentioned service lines. Are there service lines as a health system today you have to be great in? Is that part of the strategy, or does strategy look differently? Like, we have to make sure we serve the entire community very well. How do you sort of go about deciding what you have to be great in and what's not as important?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think you have to be able to serve your community extremely well. One of the easiest ways to do that is to organize yourselves or yourself along service line approaches. So, when we look at it at Banner, we look at orthopedics, we look at neurosciences, oncology, cardiovascular, women, infants, pediatrics, general surgery. Those are things that, your average population, when they're going to access your facility for care, that's typically what they're going to be coming in for. That, for Banner, we're $10 billion. Those service lines represent about roughly $4 billion of our net revenues when you look across, ambulatory, post-acute, as well as the hospital and physician services. But you also then have a responsibility to your community to go beyond sick care and to really help them. And again, I don't think, the lines between your healthcare and your life have ever been clearer than they are right now, as we're all trying to struggle through this COVID challenge. So you also need to be the North Star, the voice of truth, the voice of reason, to help them get the right kind of information for their health and healthcare needs. So we look at both at Banner.
And when you say $4 billion out of $10 billion comes from those service lines, when you think about that, even though it's 40% of the revenues, is it a disproportionate of the percentage of the profits? And in the concept of no mission without margin, are those disproportionately important to profitability, some of those lines?
Yeah, they are pieces of them are profitable. Not everything you do is profitable across all services. You provide something simply because the continuity of care requires it, and you want to be able to provide those services. But, while it's 40% of our revenues, it's probably 50% of our bottom line across across all of those services. So yeah, they're you know, they're really critical. And again, it's a great way for us to be able to organize all the myriad of services that we have, you know, into these buckets that allow you to talk to the community on a level that, that they are trying to access the services.
Is there a sense that there are, when you look at overriding strategy, well, let me ask you one question. How important is size as a part of strategy discussion, the size of the system? Is that critical today? And if so, why so?
So I'm going to answer this in a couple ways, because I do get asked this a fair amount, if that's okay. So, you know, Banner's grown into one of the largest integrated systems across the United States, as you mentioned at the start. So, you know, we're roughly $10 billion in revenues. There are definitely benefits to size and scale. You know, we're a great community citizen. We give back $700 million plus in community benefit per year. In Arizona, we're the largest employer. So we're a key source of jobs, big part of the economy, indirectly as well, too, with construction and real estate, the purchases we make. And, you know, I think also we're a big source of pride and security, you know, to cities and towns where we conduct our services and business. So, and then, you know, the last thing is the size helps you weather events like we're going through right now. What I would say, though, is, you know, size for just the sake of size, kind of like growth for the sake of growth, those are common traps people fall into. So, you know, just being big, that's not enough, at least, you know, from my perspective. You've got to be relevant in the communities that you serve. So that's where, you know, if you're big in a community, if you have scale and size in a, you know, specific market or region, that's where population health, being important to your community and state, the integrated services, the digital and physical assets, network of care, that's where it really works great. Your brand, all of those things, I think, become increasingly important. If you're just big, but you're not a key player in the markets you serve, then size and scale can actually become a disadvantage. I mean, I think it's why so many industries focus on being one or two in all the markets or businesses that they're in, or they get out of them. So it can be a double-edged sword.
Or if you're just big and not great, you probably have high expenses of curing big and not excess profits from being big. So it's kind of a debacle.
You're exactly right. And then you tend to slow things down on top of all that. And so, you know, the bureaucracy, you know, on top of size, if you're spread out, you know, too far and you're not relevant or, you know, a one or two player in your markets, it can really, it can be an issue.
And what about, are there other things you think as a system today you have to be magnificent at? Do you have to, for example, be great or getting great at digital and consumer experience so that you don't get left behind? Are there other areas, oncology, that you just have to be great at? Or how do you look at that? Do you ever look with a whiteboard and say, as a system, Banner has to be great at A, B, and C?
Yeah, I mean, all the time. And you know, one of the other things that I would say about strategy that I think has changed over the course of my, you know, 25, 30 years of being in it, is it's an everyday activity now. It's like finance, it's like operations, it's like HR. You've got to be fine tuning and course correcting constantly. And so, you know, I think right now is a great example. You know, so we are, you know, one of your strategies has to be helping customers feel and consumers feel comfortable coming back to the facilities, right? I mean, you know, we've seen our population really across the country, they're afraid to come back. And so, you know, competing based on safety and customer experience, that's a new definition of quality that is starting to, you know, to spring up. So when we're thinking about, you know, our consumer, how do we get them to reenter? What would increase that likelihood? You know, that's where you begin to get into the importance of things like, you know, having the digital options, the touchless options for them, having a safety seal, which we've created, that's like a good housekeeping seal of approval that says, when you see this, you know, in our hospitals, we've done, you know, these five things, and in our clinics, we've done these five things, so that you can be comfortable coming back for your care, that your consumer experience is going to be safe and exactly what you would expect from Banner. But you're asking about the digital experiences. First of all, I think on the service piece, those basic services that I talked about, you have to pick and choose with it, because those service lines are so big and broad. You have to pick inside those things what you want to be great at. It's difficult to be great at all of it, but you can certainly be extremely good at most and then great at some things. Then you put on top of that, you have to now be great with your digital front door. And so we've invested a lot of time and effort and capital in making sure that we have one of the best digital front doors in the country. And now you see, we didn't do it because we expected a pandemic to come, but now we're seeing 32,000 calls per day at our contact center. We're able to update our scripts every morning at 6 a.m. So that whatever nuances that we hear either locally or federally, we can work those into scripts. 500,000 viewers saw our safety messages last week on our banner.health.com. 3.5 million Banner customers are getting push messages on safety via email each week. Our social media posts on safety are seeing like 525% more readership. Find a doctor searches are up. We almost crashed our website when we posted an article on COVID safety in swimming pools. So we know our customers are paying attention and accessing us through digital channels more than ever. And that is not going to change. I think, we created a digital waiting room for our emergency departments. And, that no one liked the waiting room, before COVID. So when you can do things like that with digital tools that have now, that have really been pushed to the forefront and our consumers are much more comfortable using them, that is just, a quick evolution that you see happening.
Fantastic. Is there anything that you think of, Scott, that a system has to be great at 5 or 10 years from now that it might not be great at today? Anything that's on your mind that you think right now we're getting by in this area, and you might have thought of that like telehealth and virtual care just a few months back, but are there other things in your mind that says we have to be great at this several years from now, or we're not going to be a leading player?
There's a lot of things we have to be great at, but I think some of the things that we need to all collectively as an industry work on quickly is understanding our consumer. I think we've historically been behind in that, and now we're recognizing the need to be able to reach out and access our consumers through multiple channels and really to pay attention to what they're saying and to respond to the needs that they have. So that's clearly going to be one thing that we're all going to have to be great at to survive and thrive. I think another is we're going to have to collectively figure out how to continue to lower the cost of care. That's an obvious one. It's one that's been talked about for a long time. It's one of the reasons we're really focusing on investing in, our ability to be not only a provider, but also a payer. So that we think we can, help really continue to be part of the solution as opposed to, an issue around cost. We think that's one of the ways that we can help create better access to care. And then the quality in general, that will always be something that all of us strive to do better and better every year. Just the bar, we want to continue to raise it, not just because our consumers demand it, but we demand it, from ourselves. And so I think, when you look at those three things, those will be top of mind for Banner as we go forward.
Thank you, Scott, very much. And one last question. When it gets to be summer in Arizona, do you ever think about wanting to be back in a northern state, or are you okay in July and August in Arizona?
At this point, I've adapted to it beautifully. I can handle it. I certainly enjoy the other 9 months of weather here a lot more than the 3 months that we're about to go through.
Right. No, absolutely. It's so interesting. It's exactly the polar opposite of the Chicago rain area, where January to March are awful, but then it's okay. And there it's just as tough in the summer months, but you learn to adjust and learn to adapt and stuff like that. It's great, Scott, to get a chance to visit with you again, to hear how you're thinking about strategy, to hear how Banner's thinking about it, and thank you very much, and what a pleasure to visit with you.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, Scott. Thanks.